Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Gavin Emmett and welcome to the BT Sport MotoGP podcast. And what a race it was last time out in Japan. Let's just hear again how exciting that final lap was.
Dobby is going to win the Japanese Grand Prix.
Or is he?
Oh, the same as Austria. Now it's a drag race. The Ducati should win, just like Austria. Mark Marquez trying it on. Marquez is not the victor. It's Andrea Dovizioso.
A few days on from that, we're now in Australia, and I'm joined for this podcast by Keith Ewan and Julian Ryder. Keith, there you go. A little bit excited there. Has your voice recovered, first of all?
Certainly gave it a bit of exercise, didn't it, after the arrogant disappearance of the voice. But no, all good. I've got to say that I kind of could have left it one bend later. It might have been a little bit better, but three bends from the end, I nearly exploded. So, as did Julian, by the way, but only I think he was speechless, which is because it was a stunning end to the race. All set up by that one little mistake from Mark Marquez. If he hadn't allowed that sort of...
How did he save that?
Well,
even Dovi said afterwards he was lucky.
Well, yeah, but he's lucky every time he does it. That's the thing with Mark Marquez, isn't it? That is the specialty about him. But that one little mistake just allowed Dovi those 5 feet he needed to get on top of him, come down that the downhill straight, the back straight.
And that pass, wasn't it, down to turn 11 was so impressive. How did he do it? How does he manage it?
I'd go back to the absolutely perfect turn 10 he had to do to put himself, to give him the launch to get to make that. I think that's probably just as important, if not more important.
Jules keeps looking at me for vindication in that, and you're bang on dead right. You've hit it back on the mark. He didn't protect that corner at all. He got great drive out of it that put him to the shoulder. But I think you're right as well, Gav, down into that turn 11. Yeah. You can't appreciate from the camera angles how downhill that is, or how downhill it continues to be when you're trail braking in a corner in the wet. I mean, Michelin tyres at Motegi, I have never seen tyres stick as well as they were sticking.
Yeah,
that combination of tyre and track there were impressive in the wet conditions. I just wonder, Jules, though, in terms of the psychology, the mental side of things now, he's won in the wet in a proper hand-to-hand battle. He's done it in Austria early on in the season. Where's the mental state of these two riders
now? We said it on Thursday in Japan after the press conference. Blimey, Dovi's a bit... He's never a boastful man. It's quite the reverse. But there was steel in him, wasn't there, when you heard him
confidence.
Talk about... Confidence. Not arrogance. Confidence. Exactly, Keith. And can I just say that Marquez incident, where he nearly turn 8, was it, where he nearly tipped off? It is amazing, isn't it, what tiny, tiny events that whole world championships can pivot on.
Yeah, small margins. It's what we're dealing with all the time in this championship. Just something, though, on when you were mentioning there about Dovi, he's such a changed man this year. I've seen races in the past where he wouldn't necessarily have made the move. Where's it all come from, Keith, do you reckon, this year?
Confidence takes a long time to build and seconds to knock down. Dovi has looked better and better this year, off track and on. I always like the way Hodgie always is about body language around the paddock. You know, the old chest feathers get poked out a bit further. And Dovi's at the moment, he's confident, he bounds about, he looks happier. He always looks a bit hangdog, doesn't he, in the mornings. He always looks a bit miserable because he's so focused on what he's doing. His face, when he's focused, is not a happy face. But all of a sudden, he's sort of just that little bit extended. He's just that little bit more confident off the bike as well.
And he talks about the team so much as how this is not just him. It's people in the garage
belief,
as well.
Belief behind the scenes.
And that whole race, the way he rode it as we would expect Dovi to do with intelligence, he'd covered all the angles, all the margins he'd worked out, but the extra bit was he did turn 11. That's the extra Dovi that we're seeing.
Yeah, so Ducati, we almost expected him, I suppose, in Japan. We expected that was a place Ducati could take points. But three rounds to go now. Phillip Island here in Australia, Sepang in Malaysia, and then Valencia, the final round. Is there an advantage at any of those tracks for the Ducati or Honda?
Well, we saw what it can do here. So we know it can go well here. But again, I don't think there's no line that you can take this year on a Ducati. A Ducati is performing differently on every single racetrack than before. And with the tyres changing as well, we've just looked at the tyre charts for here. I mean, we've got asymmetric front and rears all the way through the ranges.
And different to the test here early on in the year,
yes,
is my understanding.
It's like goalposts keep moving all the time. And these teams are working so hard to keep up with that, the evolution of the year.
I would say the one place I think Ducati probably starts, as in Motegi, with a small advantage is Sepang in a week's time.
But here, would you say, is more Marquez territory? I mean, he was leading here last year by a couple of seconds under a bit of pressure from Cal, but he dropped it in the cooler conditions.
Hang on a minute, that counts. Being put under pressure and dropping it really does count.
Yeah.
I don't see, I'll go absolutely what Keith said about the goalposts moving around in three dimensions this year. I don't know what's going to happen here.
Well, weather has a lot to do with it.
Somebody
said to me this morning, if you don't like the weather in Phillip Island, wait for 5 minutes.
And it will change, because it already has today. We've had winds, we've had heavy rain, we've had a bit of sunshine in the middle of the day. So does that benefit anyone in particular of the two of them?
Well, I think we've just seen it, haven't we? I mean, Japan, you couldn't have had monsoon conditions in that way. I mean, it just goes to show you what they're both capable of, in wet or dry. We had, Austria, where the two of them... The only thing that was missing from that last bend manoeuvre was the flick of the hand, the dismissive flick of the hand that we had in Austria.
But I love the way this time it was, yes, I am expecting it. Yes, it comes, here it is, and I come across the line and I've...
But how clever is that?
Yes. Oh, wonderful. And how cool is that to... do what you said you'd do. Saying it is one thing. Doing it, not panicking, not reacting
twice.
To a lunge, twice, twice, is so brilliant.
Well, let's have a listen to what the top two had to say before this weekend here at Phillip Island. Mark, of course, not the result you wanted last time out in Japan, but we come to a track that we know that you're going to go well on. We know what happened last year, though. So you have a bit of a revenge mission this weekend. Is that right?
Yeah, of course. We are in an amazing track, amazing weekend, because Phillip Island always is special. It's an amazing weekend because the track, I like it, one of my favorite ones, but also because the weather is really unstable. I mean, you need to adapt because the wind can change, can be really strong, then in the next session, no wind, or change the direction completely. So you need to adapt really quick. And we will see during the weekend if we can be strong like we did in Motegi. But on Sunday, try to finish in front of Dovi. That will be the main target.
I remember this was the race last year. You'd won the title and you changed the chip again. You could attack. I just wonder if it changes again this year, because 11 points, it's a very different prospect, isn't it, coming here this year compared to last year?
Of course. Last year I arrived here after winning the championship. I mean, no pressure, extra motivation. And then you try a few things that sometimes is not working well. But the good thing is that I was leading the race by 2 seconds, more or less. I was enjoying the weekend. Then I crashed, but the level was there. So this year maybe the approach of the race is different, in a different way. I need to be fast, I need to take a risk, but always try to control, try to manage, and we will try to be strong, but be in a good position to on Sunday.
Dovi, another brilliant performance last time out. Races like Motegi, like Austria, early on in the season, when you've worked these things out, how much confidence, how much does that get your team together, ready for these final three races?
Yeah, exactly. In Austria was something amazing, but what we did in Motegi, I think it was more important for many reasons, not just the last lap, but all race, because the condition was very difficult. We did a big gap compared to the other riders, so it's mean we did the different, and to win in this moment of the championship, it was important. So yes, we was in the wet, not in the dry, but we confirm we are here to fight for the championship. We know it will be difficult, but for sure we try 100%, like I said before the weekend in Motegi.
What about the Ducati at Phillip Island?
Well, I think Ducati can be very competitive here. Also in the past, a lot of riders went well here. So I think it's very important for me to start in the right way, relax and work in like we did this season, because I think the bike maybe it will not be the best on the track, but I think it's very competitive. So if I can, if we work in a right way and in a relaxed way, we can be competitive. How much we will know, and also the weather is a big part in this track, in the place we are. So we have to wait the condition and see the condition.
Dovi, all the best for the weekend. Thank you. So there's the top two in the championship. Not to forget, though, that Maverick Viñales is still 41 points off the championship lead and mathematically in with a shout. He was also extremely fast in pre-season testing at this track, but he was P9 last time out and he has suffered for this second half of the year. What are we going to get from Maverick this weekend, do you reckon?
He's all over the place. I mean, I think we talked about parameters earlier changing. I mean, Maverick's face alone in press conference or otherwise, I mean, I think probably once he settles back to the fact that he's not going to win a world title, we might see him move forward again. And it's almost like he needs to take a deep breath, sit back with the team and get the best out of what's going on.
I spoke to him earlier and he was talking about 2018 already, which was, for me, quite telling.
And I think Rossi as well. I think the whole Yamaha team is thinking that way, but Maverick more publicly than the rest.
I think it's hit him hard. I think the youngster has had it. I mean, it was me and Jules, I think, when we did that thing on the top of the KTM...
In Germany.
We kind of predicted a comeback after the summer break, but it really hasn't materialised. The problems have been so deep-rooted for Maverick. He hasn't been able to get, you know, Valentino, with all his vast experience, has managed to just eke something out of it, even with a busted leg. But really, Maverick hasn't.
Yeah, I asked him about what went wrong in the wet race. He said, you better ask the engineers, which for me said a lot. But
he was talking after that race, Gavin, about being happy to get in the top 10.
Mm. Yeah, it's something wrong there. If it rains this weekend, they drastically need to find something quickly. And Tech 3, again, had a better weekend. Nazane was going well in the race, but Zarco, right up there, able to battle. Why is that? Explain to me.
Old bikes sometimes, old setup, old data, you know, even though we're with new tyres and it's all changed. I mean, he's a rookie, for flip's sake. He's a rookie. And I mean, just fantastic what he's doing. I mean, pole position. I mean, I saw Hervé. Hervé, he's got a bigger chest this year than he's ever had. He's so puffed out. I mean, the French, it's just wonderful. It's a wonderful story. You know, there should be a film about it.
Couldn't agree more. Zarco did ruin his rear tyre and plunged back through the order in the last four laps, remember? Only finished just in front of Maverick. But still, the satellite Yam was the first Yam.
And according to Jorge Lorenzo, he's playing PlayStation when he's out on the bike. That was a little bit of a dig again from Jorge. What's your take on comments like that?
Zarco's tough. He's confident. I mean, we've seen him do it I was going to say Barry Sheen then, for some strange reason. Must because we're in Australia. He did it to Valentino Rossi. I know the strangest thoughts coming to my head. Let's look at it, you, Jules. He did it to Valentino Rossi in COTA, Circuit of the Americas. I mean, the guy's tough. He's not going to give way. And he's in his own zone, Zarco. He can do things. Once he believes he can do them, he does them. You're in his way, move out.
Yeah, but you know what makes me laugh a little bit is that they said the same about Jorge in his time. They said the same about Marco Simoncelli. Yes, they said the same about Marc Márquez when he came up.
Absolutely.
And so that tells me a lot, actually, about what people have some respect. I don't know if it's the right word, but they know that Zarco, as you say, he means business.
And if you can put the same thing to his teammate, Dovi, he's not being rattled by being pushed and shoved. I mean, Marquez pushes and shoves in, but he don't throw his dummy in the air and he gets the job done. Somebody said to me, what if Andrea Dovizioso does this year what Lorenzo was paid to do next year? I rather like that phrase.
Write that down, Keith. We're going to steal that.
Twitter, the wonders of. Sometimes I do follow your lead.
Danilo Petrucci on the podium for the fourth time this year, 10 seconds behind Dovi, 8 seconds ahead of fourth position there. But that first win still eluding him, unfortunately.
But this was the first podium, really, that he wasn't regretful or resentful of something that had happened that he considered stopped him from a chance of the win. He said, absolutely, that was the best I was going to do this weekend. That'll do me.
The tyre was a bit of an issue, wasn't it, for him towards the end of the race. He said as well, there's always two other problems, Dovi and Mark.
Well, and he did say in the press conference just now, actually, we just heard him say there were no team orders. He wasn't moving out the way of Dovi at all. He thought, you know, he just moved offline because he made a slight mistake, and that's how Dovi got by him. He said Dovi did it on his own. There was no collusion between the Pramac team and the main factory.
Yeah, and I just spoke to Jorge Lorenzo actually before, and he said similar. There are no team orders as such, but Jorge said, I don't need telling. I know how to act on track if there's something at stake there. But it seems, Jules, when he's passed in a race, it's happened over only the last couple of seasons, that something happens there inside Jorge's head.
Well, when he got pushed by Zarco, the incident you mentioned earlier, he plummeted back through the field as he did at the start of the year. And then he did what he started doing at around Catalunya. And his last six laps, he was on occasion the quickest man on track. He was as quick as the leaders. And he set his personal best lap of the race on lap 22. And he went up three places in the last six laps.
He's all about rhythm and momentum.
Yeah.
Jorge, that he needs to get into his stride, and he needs, you know, usually when he gets away at the front, no one can catch him. He's that quality. But once you rattle him, once Zarco's left his imprint on him, that was the end of it. He did fly back through the field after Zarco properly rattled him. I was quite shocked at that, because, I mean, this is quite a tough sport, and people are going to make quite tough passes on you. And if you're underneath someone and you roll them up onto the curb, that's your job. Yes. Sorry to say.
Yeah. Not as if Jorge's never done that to anybody himself.
No, exactly. He's given it. He needs to take it sometimes, doesn't he, as well? I just want a quick word on the Brits. Good ride from Sam Lowe's last time. Mixed. Actually, not too bad for Scott Redding. It dropped away towards the end of the race. Cal Crutchlow, though, has worried me in the wet this year. We were talking about him winning races last year. He was furious with how his bike hasn't been working in the wet this season. What's that down to?
Again, it's getting the setup to suit the tyres. It's all changing all of the time. And that's a situation. You can go to McPhee in Moto3, which I'm sure we will in a moment. You know, the balance of that motorcycle. You know, the team said that you know, we can't go any softer because it's... But then all of a sudden, Olin's come up with a couple of even softer springs and suddenly McPhee's getting feel. It's all about feel. In the wet, you need to get the transition of weight front to back, back to front, and somewhere Cal and the team have missed the mark that they're looking for. He doesn't have the feel to do what they do.
Because
magic.
He's such
on these.
A good wet weather rider. Yeah, well, we've seen it so much.
They
in
do
the past.
Magic on the good guys in the wet. Are, you know, even old motorcycle racers look in and go, "Wow, how's he doing it?" Well, because they've got the feel.
If we discount Marc Márquez, Honda had an awful weekend.
Exactly. Danny Pedrosa had some sort of tyre issue, dropped down the field
and retired. Danny Pedrosa retired, and the. Apart from Márquez, the first Honda home was Rabat in 15th place.
Mm. And that's just, what does that say? Does it say about Honda or Mark?
It says Honda to me.
Well, yeah. It says both, doesn't it?
Yes.
Effectively.
Yes. Yeah, quite correct.
Right, let's move on to Moto2 now. A brilliant win in the end for Alex Márquez. Judged it really perfectly for someone who had to retire in the previous race through injury, of course. He was getting pains in his leg, or lack of feeling actually in his leg. It was a good ride, wasn't it, from Alex?
Quality.
Not someone we think of as a wet weather rider.
It's a quality ride. I mean, the thing is, though, he's now in his zone, isn't he? It's the same with Moto3. It took him 3 years to get to the pace where he's at, you know, world championship contender. Same thing I feel with Moto2 now. But again, it's been a funny old year in Moto2. I mean, the guy who's leading it is leading it by not very many points, and yet he's won 8 races. It's incredible. And the nearest man to him has won 2.
And it's only 2 because of what happened last time out, of course. Frankie took 3 points out of Tom Lutie in the race, but then Sunday evening we got this announcement that Domi Egerter's result from Misano had been wiped off the blackboard. What's gone on there?
The result being a win, of course.
Yeah, he got 25 points. Tom Lutie's been second. He's promoted to the win. What's happened? Can you explain to me
everything?
What's gone on there?
Yeah, I mean,
something to do with the oil?
Pacini lost his points when they do an A and B sample. So Danny
of the oil in itself,
yeah, the oil that's in there,
the engine oil.
It's Danny Aldridge, technical director. There's been rumours around the paddock that there's been various additives and the like. Danny's picked up on that. He's heard some of the rumours, not about any specific team or any specific rider or anything like that, just a little bit of a buzz going around in the paddock. So he's increased the amount of samples they take. They have to take two samples, bearing in mind that Dorna, FIM, Erta are paranoid about outsourcing stuff. Mm. Outsourcing the check on oil is very difficult because they can't monitor that themselves. It's being done by an outside organisation. So what they've had to do is cover off all the other possibilities. Like somebody said, well, it might be that the crankcases hadn't been flushed out properly. Well, that's that could be a slight against Extermpro, who are the refreshers. But there was nothing in the oil that was anything like a washing fluid or any of the things that are used by any of the other processes that go into the motor. There was no fuel mix that had come down into it. There was no elements of any other stuff that could have come from anywhere else other than a source being added to the oil.
We should point out that this is a very complex piece of chemical analysis that only a really quite sophisticated laboratory is able to do. It's exactly the sort of thing you cannot do with a van and a mass spectrometer in the paddock.
No, it's not. All you can do is make sure that they test for all the other things that might have contaminated from where it could have come from in the paddock.
So when the team are flatly denying it, and I've spoken to Stefan Kiefer, and his explanation was, look, we might have used another oil at a test, but we categorically did not use anything other than the specified oil.
Doesn't matter. I don't care. Mm. The fact of the matter is there was something in it that shouldn't have been in it. If they used another specification of oil, why? Why would you use another specification of oil in your test? Why would you do that?
I've heard other people have done it in tests.
But why
as well.
Would you do it?
I have no idea.
Well, the only reason you would do it is, I can't imagine why you would do it. It's not in short supply. The point being is if you have done that and you have an element of something that's in that other oil that's still in your crankcases when you tip your own oil in it. I don't even do that with my car,
That's what I think is one of the things they're saying might have been the issue. They have got another sponsor. They have got an oil sponsor of their own, of which they have used in tests.
Well, that's okay. Then I'd make sure he gives me the money for the points.
Yeah. But anyway, this is all obviously left it now. Instead of it being 24 points, the gap between them, it's back down to 19. So actually, Luthi's come out the weekend having gained a couple.
Yeah, it's amazing, isn't it, how things can.
And that non-risk-taking at San Marino now looks like a very, very sensible move.
Well, or not.
In hindsight.
Or not. Because it could be the crucial points that he could have to win this World Championship. I mean, who would you bet your money on? A thruster like Frankie Morbidelli or the thinking pro veteran like Thomas Luthi? I tell you what, my money would go to the Italian every minute of every day, but could easily be proved wrong by the stable and continually scoring points every single round, Thomas Luthi.
We were almost asking the same question in Moto Grand Prix.
Yeah, that's a good point about Dovi being the professor.
Yeah.
And will he take a risk? Well, he didn't the other week, did he? Mark ran away. Dovi couldn't do it.
Yep.
Had to drop off. This time, though, he took the risk because he felt right. It's a tricky one. Those guys are so on the edge out there. I mean, it's going to be a really interesting end to the season.
But 19 points means as well that Frankie almost can't take the risk because he drops it and Tom can take a first or a second and be in the lead in the championship. He can be right there. Having spoken to Thomas earlier, he says, I know I've got to get myself and another rider between myself and Frankie before the end of the year. He can't. Three first places wouldn't necessarily win the championship if Frankie was second. So it does, I don't know, put something into Frankie's head at least, doesn't it?
That's going to be the test.
Yeah.
That's exactly
Here
that.
We go. Can Frankie actually
get it done?
Knock it back a notch? And will his concentration go and there'll be a mistake and play into the hands of Thomas Luthi, the Moto2 professor?
Well, talking about how things are going to get into people's heads, Romano Fenati winning last time out. The gap in Moto3 drops to 55 points between himself and Joan Mir. Joan Mir still, as in Japan, if he finishes first or second, is the world champion. Have we got a title still on here?
Well, we've got the Danny Kent versus Miguel Oliveira syndrome, haven't we? I mean, it's at the end. And funny enough, he's on a Leopard as well, which is even more, you know, what I'm like with those kind of... I like those
things
lined up.
That sort of symmetry that Keith likes.
No, I don't think so. I think Joao Mir is a fantastic rider, and I'd be amazed if he squandered that
kind of. But with 17th place, did you see that as coming down to?
He had a mare of a weekend, whole weekend from
right
free
from
practice
FP1,
one
exactly. Yeah,
from free
didn't work
one.
At any point. Did
Not
it?
At any point during the course of the weekend could he get that bike where he needed it to be. So I think it was just one of them blighted weekends.
Okay, but with tricky conditions again here this weekend, if you see Fanati winning this race and you've got 30 points with two to go, that changes it significantly.
Well, that only happens if Mir doesn't score again.
Of course.
And I don't see a repeat.
No.
I really don't.
Not at a track everyone loves, rain or shine. I mean, this track is the rider's track.
Very interesting to see what goes on in Moto3. We look forward to it. We look forward to hearing your commentary throughout the weekend, boys, as well. Remember, of course, at home, tune into BT Sport 2 this weekend for all the action from Phillip Island. Get the coffee at the ready. We'll see you over the weekend. Goodbye.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.